All right, you can set the recording and come over here, Dan. Join us. We need to pull more chairs. You can pull more chairs. Yeah. No problem. Okay. First question. Raise your hand if you've never, ever messed up. That's what I thought. All right. Good deal. Raise your hand if you've messed up a lot. Good, good. We're in good company then. This, God will speak to us tonight, okay? A famous Belgian writer once said that every time he messes up, he discovers some new truth that he didn't know before by messing up. And one of the things that is known throughout Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, and throughout the Word of God, and even in just regular history, is that wise people learn from their mistakes. It's only a fool that continues to make the same mistakes over and over and over again, never learning from them. Take, for example, Samson in the Bible. The wisest man, he was super wise, he was very strong. Not Solomon, Samson. He was a judge, he was strong, he was wise supposedly, but he wasn't that wise. He really wasn't. This lady betrayed him 3 times. And he was still foolish enough to tell her his secret the 4th time. 3 times he told her a wrong answer and she betrayed him. And it was the wrong answer. And then she would get upset. And he would give her another wrong answer and another wrong answer. While he was playing her around with wrong answers, that's maybe wise. But then after all of that, he tells her the right answer. And it ruins his life. It's because you don't learn from your mistakes. That's what his problem was. Even wiser than learning from our own mistakes is learning from other people's mistakes. That's even wiser because that keeps you out of the loop of having to make the mistake and suffer through it. And some of the most important lessons that God wants to show us are recorded in the Bible in the mistakes that the people in the Bible made. When the people of the Bible messed up, it's written there, man. It's there, really clear. And it's not there for gossip. It's not there for our entertainment. It's there to teach us so that we don't make the same mistakes they made. In the book of in the first letter of the Corinthians, Paul said that. Maybe the Corinthians were wondering why all this Old Testament stories and why we need to read this and why we need to know this. And listen to his words to them. He says, these things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us at the end of the, that who live at the end of the age. That's 1 Corinthians 10:11. Think about those words. Do we really look at these stories in the Old Testament and learn from them? Do we really look at people's failures and learn from them? Or do we go out and do the same thing and mess up in the same way? And so that's what I want to focus on tonight. I want to take one battle that was lost. I want to take a loss, a horrible loss, and see what we can learn from it. We can learn how to lose. Or we can learn how to win in our battles, in our daily battles, by looking at the principles of this battle and how they lost so bad. Now, the battle happens in the book of Numbers. But what we're going to read is the retelling of it. The people of Israel messed up so much in the desert, so much that Moses writes the book of Deuteronomy to tell the new generation, hey, learn from your parents' mistakes. Don't do the same things they did. And you read the book of Deuteronomy, and Moses is telling him, remember this, remember that, remember the other thing, remember this. And your ancestors did this, and look how bad it went for them. When you get to the promised land, don't do it. It was like, let's learn from their mistakes. Let's take these things that they did and learn from them. And the very first story he tells this new generation is about a loss, a horrible loss in battle that the people of God had. And let's read that recounting, and then we're going to spend some time on it. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, Deuteronomy chapter 1, we're going to read a few verses. Deuteronomy 1, let's read verses 41 to 46. 41 to 46. Deuteronomy 1, 41 to 46. I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, then you confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go into the land and fight for it, as the Lord our God has commanded us. So your men strapped on their weapons, thinking it would be easy to attack the hill country. But the Lord told me to tell you, do not attack, for I am not with you. If you go ahead on your own, you will be crushed by your enemies. This is what I told you, but you would not listen. Instead, you again rebelled against the Lord's command and arrogantly went into the hill country to fight. But the Amorites who lived there came out against you like a swarm of bees. They chased and battered you all the way to Seir in Ormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but he refused to listen. So you stayed there in Kadesh for a long time. This seems like a straightforward, here's what happened. But you got to understand there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes here. God offers the promised land to his people. He takes him out of the desert, out of Egypt, in the desert, and he says, hey, I'm going to take you to a land, and you're going to conquer it, and it's yours, and you're going to have it. If you've read the stories over the years of this journey in the desert, they rebelled over and over and over again. They would, you know, God would tell them to do something, they wouldn't do it. God would tell them to do something else, they wouldn't do it. Every time they ran into a difficulty, they blamed God for it. Every time they ran into a difficulty, they lamented being out of Egypt. I wish I was back in Egypt. I wish I was back in Egypt. I wish I was back in Egypt. Is this why God got us out of Egypt, to face this problem or that? It was a constant complaining, a constant rebellion against God, until the last time they rebelled against God. They came to the city. They sent the spies into the promised land. You know the story. The spies came back. 10 of them says, there's no way we're going to do this. They're going to kill us. 2 of them says, we got this. We can do it. The people listened to the 10. They wanted to throw stones and kill Joshua and Caleb and Moses, stoning them to death. And they wanted to raise up a leader and go back to Egypt. Think how foolish that is. But that's where they were. So God got tired of it. And God lays down a judgment and says, okay, so you guys think that if you go there, they're going to kill your kids and you're going to lose everything. Well, here's what's going to happen. You're not going to go in there, but your kids are going to inherit the land. And you guys, you're going to die here in the desert. You're not going back to Egypt, and you're not going to the promised land. You're going to die in the desert. And that's it. I'm done with you. Well, now, when they hear that from God, they respond with what we just read. They repented, supposedly. They confessed. Oh, man, I'm sorry, God. We sinned against you. You know, we're sorry. We didn't, you know, we'll go. We'll fight. We'll go. Go ahead. All right. You don't have to get mad. We'll go and we'll fight. After God has said, hey, no, that's it. You're not going to get it, so don't worry about it. It's not for you. You no longer have to worry about those battles. They're not yours. And they're like, no. Okay, we'll go. And that's the passage we just read. And they get slaughtered in this battle. So when you look at a story like this, I made a list of several techniques you can do to lose a battle. You know, instead of learning how to win, let's learn how to lose. Okay? Let's look at their mistakes and see if we make the same mistakes ourselves when we enter into the battles of our lives, the things we face. Because, listen, we all fight battles. You're not fighting a battle to conquer a territory that God has given you, but you're fighting battles in your own life. Battles against your flesh, battles, you know, to do what God wants for your life, battles with your relatives, battles with friends, battles in situations in your life. Sometimes you battle with your health. Yeah, there's different battles we fight. And we all know what they are because we all have been there. It's tiring, it's frustrating, you know, and we find ourselves at the losing end a lot of times. We make mistakes, we make bad choices, and then we find ourselves suffering for the bad choices. So let's take this story and say, okay, what are some of the bad choices these people made? And what can I learn from it so that I don't do this in my life when I fight my battles? The first thing you can do to be sure that you're going to lose a battle is rely on your own strength and wisdom and not on God. Take up your own arms. Figure out your own strategy. You got this. You're smart enough to make this happen. That's the attitude. Listen to the words. They confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go into the land and fight for it as the Lord our God has commanded us. So they strapped on their weapons. And they thought it would be easy to, you know, take the hill country. Listen to the tone. The tone is, hey, we're going to go in there and we're going to beat these people. We're going to use our weapons and we're going to do it right now because we think now is the time to do it. And we got this. And so they decided they were going to do it on their own. And you, none of the battles they won on their own. Every time they won a battle is because God was fighting with them, for them. When we try to do things on our own without God, we're going to fail. If you fight, if you get ready for battle, if you go into battle based on your wisdom and your strength and your strategies, you're going to lose. Every time. Every time. If there's something you're struggling with in your life and you try to go at it with your strength, you're going to fail. If there's a sin pattern in your life that you struggle with and you're trying to stop, and you're doing it on your own strength and your own wisdom and your own strategies, you're going to fail. That's the principle. The principle here is we need God's help to fight battles. Without God's help, we can't. And His help doesn't cost us anything except submission, of course. Finding His help and submitting to what He would have us do, following His advice. That's why we have doctors. We go to doctors because we can't fight illness on our own. We need help. Now, what good is it to go to the doctor? The doctor diagnoses you and gives you a treatment or a medication or prescription, and then you don't do it. And you figure, no, I'm going to take care of this on my own. Well, the doctor says you should take this, and then, I got this. I'm going to, my grandma used to boil this leaf from this tree and with a little bit of lemon and stuff, and that'll take care of it. Except it doesn't work that way. So the first mistake we can make that'll guarantee that we lose a battle is we go into the battle based on our weapons, our wisdom, our strategies without God's help. That guarantees that we're going to lose. And it's real clear. Paul said the same thing to the Corinthians in the New Testament. He said this in 2 Corinthians 10. Look what he says, verse 3 and 4. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. What is Paul saying? Look, we don't fight this with our weapons. It's not our wisdom and our weapons. It's God's wisdom. Because at the end of the day, most of our battles here on this earth are against forces that are stronger than us. When we fight spiritual battles, we're fighting forces that are stronger than us. Without a doubt. When those spiritual battles take place, trust me. But sometimes we're like the people of Israel. We think we can do it on our own. And sometimes it brings a smile to my face when I hear somebody say, I tell Satan this and I tell the demons that and I do this and I step on them and I'm saying, look, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, and Michael, when they fought battles against the demons, and they're recorded in the scripture, one super powerful angel against another super powerful angel, you read that, how did they rebuke them? The Lord rebuke you. Jesus rebuke you in Jesus' name. It wasn't even them. They weren't, taking this as on their strength to defeat the enemy. They were relying on God to defeat the enemy. And so... those are forces that when we go up against, we need God's help. We need God's help with our flesh. Our flesh is not a demon. Our flesh is just our flesh. But our flesh is powerful. And without God's help, we can't. Our flesh will win every time. Paul fought that battle. Read it in Romans 7. Romans 6 and 7. He says, look, I find that I want to do the right thing and then I don't do it. Even though I want to do the right thing, I find myself not doing it. But then he gives you the solution in the next chapter. He says the way to win is to live in the Spirit. Because if you live in the flesh, if you don't rely on God's Spirit, on His help, on God, living in the Spirit is living connected to God. If you don't live connected to God, if God's not helping you in these battles, there's no way you're going to win. There's no way. And that's a mistake that they made. And we can learn from it, or we could go out and make the same mistake. Here's a second strategy we can do to make sure we lose a battle. Another strategy for losing a battle. Ignore God's voice. That's what they did. You want to make sure you lose? Ignore God's voice. We know what God wants from us, so let's just ignore him. God says no, we're going to say yes. And I guarantee you we're going to lose the battle. Every time. Listen to what it says. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 42 and 43. Listen to what he says. But the Lord told me to tell you, do not attack, for I am not with you. That's God's clear voice. If you go ahead on your own, you will be crushed by your enemies. This is what I told you, but you would not listen. Instead, again, you again rebelled against the Lord your God, against the Lord's command, and arrogantly went into the hill country to fight. What is it saying there? God was very clear. And by the way, how did God talk to the people? Through Moses. See, you don't have to hear a voice from heaven trembling in your room and the lights flicker and, you know, God. No, God speaks to you through pastors, through preachers, through a message, through the word. You're reading God's word and he talks to you through his word. There's many ways God talks to us. And by the way, when you're a child of God, God warns you. God always warns you when something is not right. However, we become really good at ignoring him. We become really good at just quieting that voice of God in our hearts and say, I'm going to do whatever I want anyway. That's what they did. He said to them, you know, listen, guys, stop. God said not to go into the battle. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. And what did they say? We don't care what God says. We're going to do it and we're going to win. Overconfidence? Yeah. Thinking that there's no way you're ever going to lose? Yeah. Have you ever been there? Have you ever thought that you got this and there's nothing that can keep you from getting something or doing something only to find out that, yeah, you got spanked really bad by life and by the situations that happen in your life? Of course. It happens to all of us. It's in our human nature to be rebellious as human beings. God, what did God say? Don't go up. Don't fight. You're going to lose if you do it. Now, if they were truly repentant because they felt bad that God had finally had it with them and they confessed their sin and everything, would they be rebelling against God again? No. This is number 11. Kadesh was number 10 and God was the one counting. He says, 10 times you have rebelled against me. Well, this is number 11. Lord, we're sorry we rebelled 10 times, but here we're going to do it again. And that's... Again, you want to lose a battle? That's a great way to do it. You cannot pretend to please God by disobeying him. And that's the third principle. You want to lose a battle? Do it by disobeying God. Disobey God. Not only do we have to listen to his voice and be sensitive to it, but we got to obey it. You got to obey it. Moses is frustrated. Moses says, look, I warned them, I told them, and they still insisted on doing it. By the way, there's something else going on there. They don't respect their leadership. Moses is the man that God has appointed. They have seen Moses go into the holy place, the Holy of Holies. They've seen God talk to Moses. They saw Moses come off that hill with 10 commandments written by the finger of God. They saw his face beaming with radiation, having seen God with radiance. There was no doubt in anybody's mind. It was Moses' staff that opened the Red Sea with God's help. Moses tapped the water and it turned bad water into good water. Moses prayed for manna and God sent it. Moses prayed for meat and God sent it. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that Moses is God's appointed leader over these people. Now the appointed leader says, don't go and don't do it because God says you're going to lose. And what do? They go anyway. So not only they don't respect God, they don't respect human authority either. The people God has placed in their lives, the person God placed in their lives to keep them from this horrible defeat, they wouldn't listen to. And don't we do that sometimes? Don't we do that sometimes? When we put in our little heads that we're going to do something, it doesn't matter who says no. We'll go against any authority, any message, anything God says, any Bible verse, anything. I mean, we're going to do it because we chose, we said we're going to do it. And it never comes out good. It never works out. So how sad is it that we do it again? And then we make the same mistake again. And that's what this passage is here to teach us. Let's not do this. Let's not do this. You can't pretend to please God by disobeying him. We're sorry, God, that you know, we were so rebellious to you. We'll go and fight now. No, don't fight. Yeah, we're going to fight. How do you please God by disobeying him? There's no way. And you can even fool yourself into thinking that you're pleasing God. I know I've done it to myself many times. I fool myself into thinking, no, I'm pleasing God. No, I'm not. Just because you say you're sorry doesn't mean you're sorry. When you're sorry, you don't do it again. How many times do we play those games? There are battles, and I'm talking to you, you know, completely about me and transparently. I'm not attacking you. There are battles in my life of which, you know what? It comes to a point where I'm ashamed to even say sorry to God. Because it's like, how many times have we been through this? How many times have I come to you and say sorry and said I'm never going to do it again, and then I find myself doing it again? And then it comes to a point where you're just ashamed and embarrassed, and it's like, look, okay, God, I mean, you know my heart. I'm not going to say I'm sorry anymore because you know my heart. And so what we're doing is we're trying to please God by disobeying him. We're fighting these battles and we're losing these battles. We're not living in the Spirit, and because we don't live in the Spirit, we fall. Now, are we ever going to have perfection on this side of eternity? No. But I think sometimes we hide behind that. I think sometimes we hide behind the idea, well, I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And we use that as an excuse to sin. And we use that as an excuse to just disobey God. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. They went up there, and they went up arrogantly. The passage says they went up arrogantly. How does somebody, think about this, okay? How does the same guy who says, hey, we're never going to be able to beat those people. They're going to kill us. They're going to slaughter us. We feel like ants next to these giants. They're going to destroy us. How could they then arrogantly go into battle and fight them? By going into battle arrogant means going into battle saying, I'm going to win this one. I'm going to win this one. I'm going to win this one. I'm going to defeat them. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to kill them. What happened? A few days ago, you were saying there was no way you can beat him, and now you feel you can beat him all of a sudden? It makes you wonder, which is true? Is it true that you think you can beat him, or is it true that you think you can't? Because it's self-contradictory when they express themselves this way. I love the words of the prophet Hosea. Listen to what the prophet Hosea says with this regard about being rebellious to God and how that leads to brokenness. Because trust me, they lost everything. It broke them to be rebellious against God. You can't go up against God and win. There's no way. Listen to what Hosea says, 14:9. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right. The righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall. When we do things God's way, there's wisdom in it. The righteous people live by obeying God, by doing what God says. But when you don't do what God says, the sinners, the path in those paths, sinners stumble and fall. Here's another way to lose a battle. Do something at the wrong time. Timing. Don't be sensitive to the timing issue. Here's what I mean by that. Did God promise to give them the land? Yes, he did. Absolutely. Did God promise to fight the battle with them and give them the land? Yes, he did. Did God, you know, tell them that they would live and inhabit that land? Yes, he did. So what's the problem? Why did they lose the battle? Because at that point was not the time to conquer. God had said, not now, stop. Okay, you don't want to do it now? You're not going to do it. And sometimes we want to do the right thing, but we don't want to do it at the right time. It all goes back. If you really summarize, everything here goes back to not listening to God's voice. Not being sensitive, not obeying God's word, not listening to what he says. He tells us and he tells us and he tells us, and we still think that we own this, we control this, and it's in our hands. What did they do? They went up against him, against these people arrogantly, and they got crushed. Anytime, and you're going to find this in all throughout scripture, anytime somebody goes to fight a battle with arrogance, they end up humiliated. Humiliated. Think of Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. The moment he got super arrogant about there's no God that could stop me from doing, immediately he lost his mind and went, became like a wild beast eating grass. Because, hey, nobody's arrogant against God. Nobody thinks that God, that they're bigger than God, they can do more than God. And when God says, don't do it, and you say, yeah, I'm going to do it anyway, what are you saying to God? I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm better than this. I'm better than you. I'm wiser than you. I'm stronger than you. We don't say it consciously, but that's what our behavior says. That's what our attitude says. That's what we do. And if God has said, don't do it, don't do it. It's not when we want to do something. It's when God wants to do it. Think about all the different areas in that life that applies. God wants us to be happy. God may want us to be married, or God may want us to be single, but whatever God wants from us, there's a time for God. When we're ready and God, you know, we have a green light, God says, go. When we try to do things outside of those parameters of God's blessing and God's time, and we always mess it up. We always mess it up. We get ourselves into trouble. We make poor choices. And that's the story of humanity, making poor choices. You can sum up human history. That would be one line sentence to summarize all of world history, making bad choices. Because that's what we do all the time. And every time we make these bad choices, we suffer a defeat. Now, does God want us to be defeated? No. Does God want us to live depressed? No. Does God want us to live constantly feeling down because we continuously fail? No. Does God want us to live a life of failure? No. The answer to all of these questions is no. Is it possible for us to live a life of victory? Yes. Is it possible for us to be fulfilled and do things right and make good choices? Yes. So what's the problem? The problem is that we don't take God seriously. We don't take his word seriously. I believe that, and I'm speaking again from my perspective, and I know it probably affects all of us here. Sometimes we don't fear God. Sometimes we feel like, you know, nah, God's his grandpa that's always going to be nice to us and never is going to rebuke us, and it's only there to give us candy when we ask for and toys and stuff. That's not the way God is. His justice would not allow him to overlook sin in our lives and bad choices. So, you know, to wrap this up tonight, this short idea that I wanted to share with you is here's some sure techniques to lose a battle. And just to sum up the list we just went through. If you want to lose a battle, the first thing you need to do is make it your battle and not God's. Just pick your own strategies, devise your own, you know, your own way of doing it, your own plan, and go do it. You're going to lose. Second strategy to lose a battle is ignore God's voice. Ignore God's voice. Just, God says no, it doesn't matter. You're going to do it anyway. You don't care what God says. You know, you care what you want. Strategy number three, do things your way. Do things your way. Be arrogant about it. Number four, do things when it's at the wrong time. When God says no, it's not time yet, you go ahead and do it anyway. Those are strategies to lose. What are the same strategies that we can learn from to win our battles? Don't fight your battles alone. Let the Lord fight the battles with you. Make him a part of your battles every day. Ask him to be a part of it. Pray to him. Put your troubles upon him. When Jesus says, come and bring your troubles to me, it's not metaphorical. It's not an allegory. It's not a symbolic language. He's telling you something real. This is, what's your problem? What's your problem? Okay, tell God about it. Talk to God about it. Make him a part of the solution. God, show me what I need to do because I have no idea how to do this. Lord, show me how to stop doing this because I have no idea how to stop. Lord, help me. Speak to me. When you pray that way, you become more sensitive to God's word. Because you're asking God to speak to you. So what are you going to be doing? You're going to be listening for God to speak to you. And he will. Through a song on the radio, through a message, through just somebody flat out coming and talk, getting in your face and telling you what God, you know, wants them to tell you. God, your a parent can give you God a word from God. You ask God to help you and to show you what to do, and God will communicate with us. And God knows that we're hard to communicate with. So he finds a way that's effective for us. It's not something that's hard for us to get. We get it. And every time we mess up, I don't know about you, every time I mess up, I sit back and say, man, there was no excuse because God told me this and God told me that and this person said that and I heard this and I knew it and I did it anyway. Because when you think back, you can, in retrospect, you can see how God warned us and gave us everything we needed in order not to be a victim, not to fall in those situations. If you want to be victorious, listen to God's voice. Listen to it and respect it and obey it. Just like when the doctor says you got to take a medicine because that's what's going to help you get better, take it. Do it. Otherwise, it makes no sense. It's like taking your car to the mechanic and the mechanic says, okay, you know, the radiator's bad. We got to change the radio. Okay, thank you. And you take your car. It's like, if you don't fix it, if you don't do what the mechanic says, your car's not going to work. It just works that way. And yet, that's exactly what we do spiritually. Here's what I need. Yeah, God tells you, here's what you need to do. All right, Lord, good deal. You don't do it. It's like, okay, I got it. I understand what you want me to do, but I'm not going to do it. Not yet, not today, not tomorrow. I don't think it's the right time. We come up with a series of excuses. Ignore God's voice. You're going to lose. Listen to his voice. It's going to go well for us. Do things God's way and in God's time. That's what's going to give us the victory. All of our battles in life, we face many battles. Whether you win or lose depends on how you walk with God. Now, the good thing about these passages and even other passages is that God tells us, hey, forget that. Forget the past. Forget your mistakes. You learn from them. Don't dwell on them. Don't do it again. Learn from it and just keep going. So God is a God of grace, of mercy, of second chances, of third chances, of fourth chances. But there's a limit to the chances. Like we see in this story, when they got to their 10th chance, that was it. For them, God said, okay, 10 times is enough. Now here comes my judgment. Boom. And that doesn't mean that God gives you 10 chances and then you're done. That means, God, there's a limit to how much God will play a game with us. There's a limit to how much God will allow us to get away with before he comes down on us hard. Not because he hates us, but because he loves us. And I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. God's never going to free you of the consequences of bad choices. You make the bad choice, you have to deal with it. You got to face it, and you got to suck it up and deal with the consequences because they're not going to go away. Supposedly, that's how we learn. I don't think I know any child that has ever touched a stove twice, a hot stove. Once is enough. It hurts so much, you never want to go through that again. We need to be like children again. We need to learn that way. So this is what God laid in my heart to share with you guys tonight. And it's learning from our losses. And learning from the losses of other people. So as you read the stories in the Bible, ask yourself, okay, why did they mess up? Why did it not go well for them? Why did they fail? What mistakes did they make? I don't want to make the same mistakes. You can look at the life of David and say, what were David's mistakes, man? And you're going to have a long list. Learn from those mistakes so you don't make the same mistakes David made. Solomon. What mistakes did he make? Okay, let me learn from them. Saul, what mistakes did he make? Let me learn from them. A while back, Daisy preached a series on the life of Saul, highlighting a lot of these big issues in his life that he didn't deal with correctly. We're supposed to read that not for our entertainment. We're supposed to read that to learn from it so that we don't make the same mistakes. Read the book of Proverbs. The wisdom is there. How to avoid the mistakes, how to not make them. We want, our goal, you know, as a church, is for all of us to grow, all of us to grow, all of us to mature, all of us to make better choices, and have God's blessings in our lives. Because if you're doing things right and God is blessing you, the church is blessed. The body of Christ is blessed. When any of us messes up, any of us does the wrong thing, any of us suffers, the body of Christ suffers. Think about it tonight. When you go to pray before you go to bed tonight, pray to God about that one battle in your life. Pick one at a time. That one battle in your life that you keep doing the same thing over and over and you keep losing. And say, Lord, I don't want to lose anymore. Show me how to win this battle. Tell me what to do. How do I handle this area of my life? And then do it. I know that that's what I'm trying to do. And that's what we all need. We're all in this journey together. We all face similar issues together. And there's a body here of people that can support you in prayer and advice and help. And the pastors are here to counsel you. And, you know, God has put you in a place where you're not alone. And you can have help and we can overcome. Let's pray tonight. Close your eyes. Father God, thank you so much for just allowing us to get here together tonight and spend this time. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to open your word and learn from the mistakes of others. Father, these people were rebellious. These people just decided to disobey you. These people just did whatever they felt like doing. And Father God, before we throw rocks at them, we got to admit that we do the same thing, Lord. A lot of times, Lord, we just do whatever we feel like doing, knowing that it doesn't please you, Father God. A lot of times we know what you say and we ignore you, Father God. Please forgive us, Lord. Please forgive all of us. Let our repentance be genuine before you, Lord. Let us repent for real, Father God. Let us turn back from sin. Let us fight these battles in a way that we would win. Help us overcome these areas in our lives, Lord. Give us the victory. I pray, Lord, that everyone here tonight would take this message to heart, would pray to the Lord, would put their lives and their battles and their desires and their weaknesses before the Lord and get help from Him to overcome. Father, we know that we win battles one day at a time. Allow us to be victorious today and tomorrow, Father God, that tomorrow will be a day of victory. And we will thank you for it. And then, Father God, we'll pray again. And we'll pray that Saturday will be a day of victory. And we'll fight the battles. And then we'll win on Saturday and we'll pray for a victory on Sunday. And let us every day seek to be a day of victory. And on those days, Father God, where we mess up and we find defeat, Father God, that we would learn from these situations to walk more upright and to do things in a way that pleases you. Father God, we don't do these things because they're rules that we have to do. Allow us to do them, Lord, because we love you and because we want to honor you with our lives. I pray all of this, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.